performance of the original Redemption Time. We'll be right back.
Yes, we do. We got to work together to save humankind, the earth, life, beauty, joy, music. That's, yep, that's Norman Sylvester, and you're going to hear more about him in a couple of minutes and why we're playing, besides the fact that he's a terrific musician. And but you know how it works around here. Why am I playing him? Maybe he's going to be in the neighborhood. Stay tuned and find out. So Carol here with Arts Live and Local. Very glad to be here. Big shout out, thank you to Veery for tracking that wonderful music for me, for us, for all of us, and to you for listening. And a huge thank you to all of you who called in last week with the pledge drive. I've got some special thank yous to my challenge grant folks, Charlene Larson and Rhythm Method. Yes, that's a musical group, in case you weren't clear on that, in North Tillamook County. Thank you so much. And to the very generous donors, to Anonymous, Great Dancer, to Charlie, our own Charlie here at KMUN, to Minta and Brent, beautiful musicians and singer, to Thron and Betsy, more local and programmer, and to Bruce and Eileen, also programmer. Wow, we are so lucky. We not only put it out, we support each other, and you support us too. Thank you so much. You can still call in or go to the KMUN.org, press the red button if you didn't make your donation and would like to. Think about it. We're worth it. We are community. We are you. And that's why we are still able to keep on keeping on. Because unlike lots of places in the rest of the world, including right here in this country, we take care of each other. And I'm sending out healing to people all over the world. You know all of the hot spots. Well, we think we do, and then we hear of someplace else. The world is deeply in need of help. And that's one of the reasons I do this show. It helps me, meeting creative people and bringing them to the community's attention. So I'm not going to name names right now. It's too, it's actually rather painful. And so here's what you can do. Tomorrow, of course you know what tomorrow is. It's No King's Day. Number three, it's going to be huge. And please show up in your community, wherever it is. If you're here in Astoria, over on 16th, south side of Marine Drive, got one group is starting from 11 to 12, and then Inco, 12 to 1:30. And you can just come for the whole thing. Bring a sign. Come without a sign. Come with your heart. And it feels good when we all come together, I promise you. Special healing to Hope and Gina, Stephanie and Issa and Jan and Lulu and Hamp and Janet and Noel, to Luann and Karen, Jean and Carl and Tom, Steve, Ted, Mary Beth, Quiet Dog, and you and me, because we all need healing. And special happy birthday to my beloved granddaughter, Lena Zahara, freshman in college, and so proud of her. And to Suzanne Gladwin, happy birthday, Suzanne. So why did we play Norman Sylvester? My first guest is going to tell you. Carrie Bond is here with the, ready, here it is, the Seaside Jazz and Blues 2026. It's coming up next week. A week from tonight, Norman Sylvester will be at the Seaside Convention Center. And then all day Saturday, a fantastic lineup of, well, I'm going to turn it over to Carrie. Carrie Bond. Now, Carrie, what's the story? Who are you? How did you end up bringing us the Seaside Jazz and Blues Festival?
Well, my husband and I moved to Seaside in 2021, and the following year, the band teacher was killed in a car accident on Highway 26, and the community loved him. Oh, it was, the accident was about a week after they'd done a jazz performance at the Times Theater, and it really just rocked those kids. Yeah. And I have some background in community crisis like that. So it just popped into my mind that we really, really needed to bring some good out of the tragedy. So Seaside Jazz and Blues was brought to the community. It's a method to raise dollars in Kyle Rieger, the band teacher's name, for music scholarships. School wants money for band camps, purchase or rental. And then when we can, we provide a scholarship for a senior graduating and wanting to pursue music in high in college. So last year, we were able to donate $2,400 back to the school.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
And our focus is youth. Mm-hmm. So last year, the second year, we launched the Seaside Jazz and Blues High School Showcase, which is a state qualifier for jazz bands to come and compete. Mm. We had 7 bands last year. We've doubled in size, and we have a wait list this year.
Wow. This is so exciting. Now, where did the bands come from?
From all over Oregon.
Wow.
Some from the Portland area, some from further east, of
course.
Did
you have connections with schools or with jazz people in all over the place?
Well, Josiah Glazer, who is the current jazz band leader at Seaside High School, has run festivals in the past like this.
Oh, okay.
And when I took the idea to him, he was immediately
jumped on
board.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course.
So we're going to expand next year into Thursday as well as Friday. So we have a great group of kids coming to perform on Friday. That's a free concert for anybody that wants to come to the convention center and listen.
And what time is that?
It's all day. The first band is at...
this is Friday.
Friday.
Okay.
8:30 to all day long. And then the awards are going to be about an hour before Norman takes a stage.
Okay.
So that's an all-day event. Doesn't fit on the poster, unfortunately.
Right. That's why I'm looking at the poster going, I don't see this. So these are all high school bands.
All high school.
Okay.
I believe there might be one middle school band, but we're going to be expanding. Yeah, we're really hoping to.
Are there many of these for high school kids in Oregon? Many opportunities like this?
There are a number of them, but we thought coming to the beach would be kind of a special deal.
I think so.
Deal, and it's proving to be.
And is this during some... spring break?
No, this is Oregon spring break this week.
This week.
Yeah.
So they're going to be coming, taking off from school to come.
Right.
So this is a school-sanctioned activity.
Yes.
Even, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, so that is all day Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody is welcome?
Anybody and everybody welcome to come
now,
and listen to the kids.
Now, do you need a ticket for that?
Not at all.
That's a free, open, all ages.
Yes.
All day at the Seaside Convention Center. Fantastic. Okay, then comes the hot stuff. So Norman Sylvester Band is 7:30.
7:30 to 9:30, two sets. Yep. On.
Wonderful.
It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. And then Saturday you start at 11:45, and you're going to start with the Seaside High School.
The Seaside High School band, jazz band, comes and performs, and we do a tribute to Kyle Rieger. My husband Greg, who was in television at Oregon Public Broadcasting, has put together a video about Kyle.
Beautiful.
And we've shown that the last 2 years. He needs to be remembered. This is in his name. So,
what an incredible tribute for the community, a healing.
Yes.
There you go again. I love it. And then also a legacy. How old was he? Any idea?
26.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was his first year teaching. Young kid out of Missouri.
Right.
Came. He's going on a blind date in Portland and got into a car accident.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sure his family appreciates this too. So the high school kids are going to be on from 11:45 to 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell us who else is coming. And so, how does this work? This is ticketed, right?
This is ticketed.
Oh, wait a minute. I have a gift from you from the Seaside Jazz and Blues 2026 Festival to you listeners if you are anywhere near a telephone. What should they do, and what are you giving away?
They should pull that phone out of their pockets and call the station. We're giving away two packets of two tickets, weekend passes, to Seaside Jazz and Blues 2026. First two callers.
Okay, so that means don't ask for both packets. One packet gets two tickets, leave the other for someone else. And it's 503-325-0010. You guys should know that if you're listening to the radio, because last week we said it 100 times. No, 300 times at least. 503-325-0010. Bruce will take your name and phone number. Okay, what's happening Saturday?
Okay, so after the tribute is the Mary Catterly Trio, followed by the Astoria Jazz Collective, which features our North Coast favorites, including Dave Drury and Roxanne Hill. Vocals by Chelsea LaFay. Nice. Following that is the Dimitri Matheny Group. And Dimitri's been invited back this year because he was the, quote, fan favorite last year. Everybody loved him.
So, he's fantastic. Yeah, he's been to us to color. And then who's Red String Theory?
That's Greg Lyons.
Oh, from the new Lyons Den.
Yes.
Okay, I haven't heard him yet, but I've heard of him for sure.
Red String Theory's been around a while, but they played at a fundraising event for Seaside Jazz and Blues, and we invited him there. A little bit of funk.
Nice.
A little bit of fun.
Okay, speaking of which, the next is Lloyd Jones' Struggle.
Yes.
At 7 o'clock. And, a lot of us heard he's
Lloyd
terrific.
Jones, Wonderful. We're trying to, this is our third year, and we finally realized that we needed to honor the blues and Seaside Jazz and Blues. So we have Norman, we have Lloyd, and the last show is going to be fantastic. Marilyn Keller and True Friends. She's coming to sing the blues.
And Marilyn Keller knocks it out of the ballpark. I've seen her a couple of times and played her music, too. Yeah. She is fabulous. So that's 8:30 to 9:30. So these tickets are good for the whole, from Friday night through Saturday night.
You can get Friday night only.
Okay.
You can get Saturday only.
Okay.
Or you can get the weekend pass. The weekend pass is only $55 for all this great music.
Okay.
And it all goes to a good cause.
And that's the main thing. We don't give prices usually, but just remember, this is to support the youth, music, and to support the community in healing through the arts.
Yes.
What could be better? So give us a call, 503-325-0010. Or if you live right next door, come on over and grab those tickets. Well, we don't have live tickets here. We're just taking names and phone them. Carrie Bond, thank you so much for doing this. And I appreciate that you took a wretched, horrible situation and have created something beautiful. So thank you to you. And,
of course.
And the Seaside Jazz and Blues Festival. Next weekend, keep your eyes open, folks. And better yet, keep your ears open. Come on over to the Seaside Convention Center. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Got some music for you. If it works, I'll be happy. And that is, here we go. I have, you'll recognize it. You can go to democracynow.org and listen to the whole concert. But here's Patti Smith telling it like it is. And stay tuned. My next guests are going to do the same thing. KMUN.org. Let's see. Okay. Ah, I see what. How about this? Well, I'm not sure what's happening, but I'm going to get you that music. This is... I don't know what's wrong. So I'm going to have... No. I've got something else I can play if Patty doesn't want to visit us today. She's being extremely quiet. So let's, in the same vein... Let's, whoa, wow, it says we're on, but we're not, so I'm going to give you instead Power to the People.
Power to the people.
So power to the people, and power to the people who know how to work technology, unlike some of us. But you got the idea. I understand Patti Smith sang to you, maybe, maybe not. And this is from Steal the Movie, and that's close enough to Democracy Now's celebration as well. Yes, power to the people. And the next guests are going to yes, technology. It's okay. It's okay. I do have other skills, even if I can't figure that one out. Power to the People works for my next guests beautifully because both of them are artists and then some. I have Dr. Joe Pomeroy Crockett here from the Art Loft and then some. Joe is a local artist and teacher, educator, and she's got a very large heart. I don't know about physically, but I know spiritually. And Joe wrote me a note about something that she and some of the others at Art Loft were putting together with my other guest, Sam Blair, who most of us locally know as a photographer, but lurking in the background, his professional life has been as an attorney. So we've got all the bases covered, right? We're all covered now. And so they are putting together a show, and there is a call out for artists. And I'm going to let them tell you what this is about. I am personally very excited, and there's history involved, and there's art, and yes, there's politics with a small p. Take it away, whichever of you wishes.
Thank you, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. We have to thank Sam for thinking up this concept of artists against fascism. This is his idea. He has been doing the lion's share of the work. And I'm going to turn the mic over to him for a moment to talk about the history of artists against fascism.
Yes.
Well, again, thank you for having us. This, it all started actually going back 100 years with Mussolini and Hitler. And then with Trump's second election, I was struck by the parallels of what happened in Italy in the 20s and Germany in the 30s and 40s, and similarly struck by the absence of outrage of what was happening here. And so it was like everybody reaches a tipping point, and my tipping point was Renee Good. Mm-hmm. And not only her death, but then when our government started gaslighting us and calling her a domestic terrorist, while you're sitting there watching the film, she's trying to escape. And so, again, everybody has the tipping point, and that was it for me. It's like, okay, that's it. I have to do something. And it was like, well, I know the artists are probably like-minded. And so what about we form a protest group, peaceful group, to protest against what's happening here and call out to the rest of the world the parallels between the 20s and 30s and now here in the mid-2020s in America. So that's the embryo. That's how it all got started. I took the idea to Joe. I said, what do you think? She was on it like a tall dog. She loved the idea. And here we are.
So now, where are we? What's happening? What are you asking people to do? Are there parameters? Where, what? All the questions.
We're asking people to contact Sam at sblair@hotmail.com to verify their interest in participating in the exhibit for Artists Against Fascism. And we're asking that by April 15, that each person email a photo of each of your pieces of art, unframed, to Sam, so that we have an idea of how many pieces of art to expect. Now, we've had over 50 people exhibit their interest. So we originally thought we could handle 3 pieces of art from each person, but I don't think we can handle that many.
Where is the show?
The show is going to be held at the Astoria Art Loft.
Okay.
And I have hung as many as 350 pieces of art during the AVA weekend studio tour.
Whoa.
So we can handle quite a bit of art and are looking forward to it.
Now, what since we already said you're a painter, Sam's a photographer.
And he's a painter also, a very fine watercolor.
Aha, the truth thickens, or whatever that phrase is. So what kind of art are you looking for? Does it have to be two-dimensional, size, any kinds of...
We haven't set limits on size. We pretty much left it open to the emotions and imagination of the artists. But because of the name, Artists Against Fascism, of course, there's a theme here, and it's protest art. So we don't want puppies or bunnies. We would like protest art, and that's what this is all about, to call attention to the fact that it's not okay to slip into fascism. The point here is to call attention to the fact that something bad is happening to our country, and there is a lack of outrage, and we just need to have people aware that it's okay to resist. It's okay to protest.
It's beyond okay. It's imperative.
Agreed.
And I am fortunate to be in a community that is activist, artistic and activist. Mm. And, for example, we expect thousands to come out tomorrow for No King's Day. So it's happening. What was exciting to me is also that artists, like folk musicians, have always been at the forefront of bringing up what needs to be done, of taking those emotions and putting them out there, because in many cases that's all they can do. But now you're asking people to bring it in, and let's share it with each other and with the world.
Exactly right, Carol, because back in the 30s, there was also a movement called Artists Against Fascism. And it grew from what was happening in Europe. And probably the most famous piece of art that came from that was Picasso's Guernica.
Guernica, yeah.
When Hitler bombed the Spanish village of Guernica on Market Day, when he knew there would be children civilians in the market, that's what prompted Picasso to do that now world-famous mural. But there was other art that came from that, and artists again stood up and said, this is not okay. It's not okay to do this.
This was so popular that in London, one exhibit attracted over 6,000 people.
Wow.
So, the word was out. Yeah. And not only for 2- and 3-dimensional art, but poetry and music as well. And that's true for ours.
Are you inviting
ours.
That?
Yes, we are.
Good.
We are.
So, for something like music or poetry, does that also go to Sam?
Yes, I'm kind of the funnel.
Okay. Tell me again.
Just call me Funnel Man.
Tell our audience again.
But we do. In fact, we have fabric artists, we have musicians, songwriters, we have sculptors.
This could be a whole weekend, actually.
Well, it's shaping up to be.
Yeah, Yeah. Tell us again the contact where people should.
Your email.
Your email.
The email address is S as in Sam, Blair, B-L-A-I-R, at Hotmail, H-O-T, dot com.
You're still with Hotmail.
Okay. Hotmail.com.
Okay. Okay. Artists Against Fascism. I suspect that everyone listening to this program, who can stand listening to me, feels that way. And so I'm hoping that some of the folks in our audience will either themselves, because you mentioned all the different ways, or share this with friends. Is there something online that people can go to for information?
Yes, at AstoriaArtLoft.com.
Okay.
And it is on our monthly newsletter. And we will accept art on the 5th, on May 5. Bring your framed artwork to the Art Loft between 10 and 4:30. And we will hang it. And the opening will be the second Saturday, which is which is May 9.
Okay.
And we will have a reception from noon to 4 p.m.
And it may grow.
It very well may.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it could be that we will keep our exhibit open on the following day on Sunday, depending on...
I hope so.
Yes, yeah, that would be wonderful.
So. But you would like to hear from people in advance, preferably by April 15th, rather than people showing up at the door on May 5th.
No, we need to know in advance. Yeah. Yeah. Now, we're going to be doing something else. We're going to use the photographs of all of the artwork, and we will be creating a photo book of all of the artwork that's included in the exhibit.
Wonderful, wonderful.
We think the spirit of the whole thing deserves to be remembered.
And again,
honored.
Needs to.
Yes.
We need it. I wish I believed that we could snap our fingers, put the word out, and things would change. But the three of us sitting in this room are all too old to believe that. So we need to keep this going. Now, question. When we use the word fascism, as you said, you don't want the cute stuff, but fascism can mean different things to different people. Any comment on that?
Well, yeah, it's a form of authoritarianism. And the tenets of fascism, which makes it somewhat different, and there are different definitions, but the most commonly accepted principles of fascism are a charismatic figure that people as much as believe in as their God. Mm-hmm. That there are people that believe that Trump is appointed by God. There were people that believe Mussolini mm-hmm. was appointed by mm-hmm. God. So it's that cult of personality is where it starts. And another facet of fascism is to instill fear and terror mm-hmm. in the population. And another tenet is propaganda. It's just lies. You keep repeating the lies.
Yeah.
And the final is take away civil liberties and ultimately the right to vote. And the way this works is it's not all of a sudden one day. One of my favorite parallels from Mussolini's era is Hitler learned from Mussolini, and they talked about how you do this, because Mussolini went first. Mussolini told Hitler that instilling fascism in a democracy is like plucking a live chicken, one feather at a time. And you don't miss it until they're all gone, and then it's too late. And that's where we are. They're plucking our feathers in Washington.
Yeah.
And not enough of us realize the danger here.
Well, there's the shout-out call, folks. Go to AstoriaArtLoft.com to get the rest of this or to send it to friends, and contact S. Blair, B-L-A-I-R, at hotmail.com. Send a photo of your work unframed and or a paragraph about what you would like to submit to this exhibit. It's coming up soon. We're almost into April now, and this is happening in early May. So if you know you want to do something, contact Sam Blair or Joe Pomeroy Crockett at Astoria Art Loft, and let's make ourselves proud. Let's come together in community in the arts. I have to say the AVA did, Astoria Visual Arts did a wonderful exhibit, protest art. And so some of those people, that show is down now, so some of those people might want to either create something new or share what they did. Thank you so much. Always, Joe.
Thank you, Carol.
It's always a pleasure to have you. I'm so appreciative. And Sam Blair, thank you. I really am glad you grabbed hold of this and wouldn't let go. So, thanks.
Thank you.
KMU and Astoria, I think there's another set of tickets out there. I know one set was taken. A little bit of music. My last guests are coming in. Also very important stuff. So stick with us, Arts Live and Local. And thanks again for all of your contributions for the membership drive. You can go to KMUN.org, press the red button. And if you haven't had a chance, we would be very honored.
Take this pain and give me freedom. Take this pain and give me freedom. Take this pain and give me freedom. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Take my
I'm
And don't let us turn back either until the job is done. This piece is from Let My People Go, a Jewish and African-American celebration of freedom. And that piece is just a quickie. We have inherited a story of great power and possibility, one that takes us from slavery to freedom, from degradation to dignity, and from fear to courage. We conclude our celebration of Passover, Pesach, which begins this coming Wednesday, with a prayer, a call to action, and a rededication to move forward with open hearts and open minds, and all of us working together to make this happen. Maybe it's not the most important time, but I think it is. It is in my life. And I'm glad I went through the 60s so I have some perspective. I have two good friends here with me. One of them, I think they're both too young to have gone through the 60s. One of them might have been a little person, right? I don't, you're on the air, so you can either speak or not.
Carol, you know I was born in the early 50s.
Oh, you were?
I'm 75 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
Tessa
on
Scheller.
On March 31st.
Oh, Tessa Scheller.
Transgender Day of Visibility.
That's right. That's why they are here. But I'm sure that Benedetto DeFrancisco did not go through the 60s.
That is correct.
Okay, one out of two, I got it. Okay, these two friends are here. Tessa and Ben are here to talk about Trans Day of Visibility, which is March 31st. How did you get that on your birthday, Tessa? That's fantastic.
Good planning. It's good really planning. Important for activists, isn't it?
Definitely. They are here from the Lower Columbia Q Center, where Ben is the executive director and Tessa is on the board. So tell us how the Q Center is commemorating, and what does it even mean? Has this been going on for long, Trans Day of Visibility?
Yeah, so it was founded in 2009.
Oh, really?
By okay. Rachel Crandall Crocker from like Michigan area.
Okay.
So she initially wanted to create a celebration because there was, you know, Trans Day of Awareness that brought more like focus on the harm that is brought on to the transgender community.
That was in 2009.
Mm-hmm. So Trans Day of Visibility is more of a celebration. It is to highlight the accomplishments of transgender and non-binary and two-spirit individuals in the community, while also bringing awareness to just the violence and other horrible things that happen to our community.
Do you, would you say that, well, I can barely ask this, have things gotten better or worse since 2009 for the transgender community?
Gosh, I mean,
well, if we look at legislation, Carol, it's terrible for us at this point. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to belabor that point because Transgender Day of Visibility has to do with the joy that we experience as full human beings in community with our neighbors, have a sense of belonging here. This is a great town. This Astoria rocks.
Yes.
This
yes.
community rocks. You see rainbows everywhere. I ran for office last year. I knocked on 1,000 doors and yep. said, hello, I'm your friendly transgender neighbor running for office. You know, people get it here. This
yeah.
is a great
An
community.
Enlightened community.
Yeah, people yeah. people have experienced us. They know us. We are public. We mm-hmm. are visible. And the harm that's done to us is that legislative and hate-filled kind of thing that suggests our lives are terrible. But you know what? We have wonderful lives, wonderful relationships, great jobs and communities, just like everybody else. And sometimes we have to go to the bathroom. So big deal.
<That's->
You know, let's get over that little stuff
yeah.
and get on with creating a greater community for all of us where we can share and be successful and feel that sense of belonging.
Well, and I agree. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you here was to be able to share with our community how you're going to celebrate and how our community can be part of that, the rest of the community.
Yay.
And thank you. I don't know if I said thank you for having us on
your show
today.
Of course.
I really appreciate it. So we will be celebrating Trans Day of Visibility on Tuesday, March 31st, by featuring the documentary called Disclosure, Trans Lives on Screen. And it was created in 2020, directed by Sam Fetter. And so what this represents the transgender representation in Hollywood and how Hollywood can affect the depictions of like actual trans mm-hmm. lives in America.
How has that been? Has Hollywood's depiction
Well, we usually
helpful?
End up dead, tragic, or something sad. You
that's
know,
that's what so I was afraid of.
Our real lives are far, far more interesting.
Well, obviously, you're here with me, so
We are depicted poorly, and our real lives are better than that.
So, where's the celebration part if the movie is the movie going to be sad?
We don't think the movie's sad. It's information, we'll be celebrating at Anita Place.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's happening at Anita Building, which is 312 Commercial, folks. It's where fabulous stuff happens. And, if you think, what is she talking about? Anita Building? Yeah, that's the name of the building. And the owner of the building is also a programmer right here on KMUN.
What a great community.
We
rock.
We just stretch all over. So how do people go? What time is it happening?
So doors open at 5:30.
Okay.
The show starts at 6, and everybody is welcome, and it's a completely free event.
Okay.
There will be food and drinks, non-alcoholic drinks, food and snacks.
And our community members did this with us and for us. This is that kind of community.
Right.
We're our friends, our allies. They say, hey, we recognize some discrimination. We recognize where we can help, where we can say, yeah, we get it, and you're okay. You're okay with us.
And that's why I said my last guests and you folks, they're putting on an art show, Artists Against Fascism, and now this is part of it, too. Yeah. We need to be sure that people who don't understand that we are all one and we're going to sink or swim together. And boy, what a great opportunity to come together. And Anita's on the north side, that's the riverside of Commercial, 1312. Can't miss it if you look for it. This is March 31st, which is a Tuesday. It's this coming Tuesday, folks. 4 days from now. Right. Yeah. And doors open 5:30, show is at 6, and it's free, although I'm sure that donations will be appreciated. This community is very lucky, too. The Lower Columbia Q Center has been around how long, Tessa? You've known.
We got started in 2014, and 2015 was our when we got federally and state recognized. So we're going for 11 dozen years now.
Right.
Yeah, this will be our 10th year celebrating Pride here in Astoria.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Is there a way for people to connect with you at LCQC?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can visit our website at www.lcqcpride.org. We have a newsletter and all sorts of ways to connect, including receiving financial aid, emergency aid, gender-affirming care. We have a whole calendar list of other fun events happening in April, so definitely check it out. Lots of family-friendly free stuff.
Definitely. But also, as Ben mentioned, lots of information for people who may want and need resources and don't know where to go. This is an extremely open, friendly, and generous organization that's there for all of our community. So LCQC, Pride, one word or one bunch of letters, .org is the way. And notice that .org, yes, it is a nonprofit. So again, community support is always appreciated. And these folks throw good parties, I can tell you. Well, most of you know because they've been doing Pride celebrations for all these years. There's another group stepped in, also has some stuff going on. But this is our indigenous, our locally grown group that has services for the community. For anybody who has a need, just get in touch and ask them if you have a question. Anything else we should know?
Thanks so much, Carol. We're here year-round, not just for Pride, and we look forward to a greater community sharing and caring. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My guests, I'm going to say your full name because I so much enjoy it. Benedetto DeFrancisco, a.k.a. Ben, is the executive director at the Lower Columbia Q Center, and Tessa Scheller is a board member, and I'm so happy about that. And thanks.
We're good friends. Thanks, Carol.
Yeah, we've been working together for 30, 40 years.
Yeah, I think we started a P-Flag a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
That's incredible.
Okay, thanks for doing this. We'll see you Tuesday night.
Yay.
Okay.
Thanks, Carol. Thank you.
Take care. Folks, there are lots of things going on. I'll tell you about some of them. And tonight, Will Horniak, the first Irishman, the legend of Tuan MacCairdle, is at Cala in Astoria, 7:30. 4 o'clock, if you're anywhere near the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach, Terry Robb and Adam Scramstead are playing together. And then tomorrow, Terry is doing a solo act at the NCRD in Halem, 7:30. But the 4 o'clock one is today, so you have like 2 minutes to get there, sorry. And we still have 2 tickets for next week's Jazz and Blues Festival. Call 503-325-0010. Give your name and phone number. It's a fantastic deal. Friday and Saturday and Sunday this weekend, the Coaster is featuring Drinking Habits with focus on the habits. And the Columbia River Maritime Museum has Boats Lynette with Maritime Sling. That's this evening, 6 to 7. And the Ghost Conference is going on in Seaside, if that's your thing. And co-op tastings are going on until 5 o'clock today. No Kings tomorrow. Don't miss it. And Papa presents Dukes of Swing tomorrow, 3 to 6 at Fort Columbia Theater. Also, Peninsula Players, Joel Underwood, River City Playhouse. That's Wednesday, 7 p.m. I want to wish you all a Chag Kasher, V'Sameach, and peace. May it come to all of you, all of us, all of the world. Thanks for being here. Stay tuned. KMU in Astoria, 91.9. KMU in Tillamook, KTCB, and KMU in...
It comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.